listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, I can only imagine what must be going through the mind of Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, who approaches Jesus with this earnestness. He implores him. He says, "My little daughter is at the point of death, so the girl is about to die." He implores Jesus, "Come, lay your hands on her so that she might be made well and live." And Jesus at first seems to just immediately say, "Okay, let's go." And then he allows himself to be waylaid by a woman that stops in his tracks in order to deal with this woman and heal her disease. This woman is not in an immediate danger. Jesus simply relieves her of her lifelong condition. Good enough for Jesus. But if you're Jairus standing there, you got to be thinking, my daughter's going to die. Can we come back to this woman later? And in fact, Jesus lets the daughter die. And he does not arrive until after she's dead. And it's not the only time Jesus does this. Very famous story of Lazarus. Jesus lets him die. And then he goes and raises Lazarus, as he does with this little girl. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson today in the latter part of this Tuesday afternoon, January the 17th, broadcast of Issues, etc. Jesus healing Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
This isn't the only time that Jesus kind of dilly-dallies or apparently kind of takes his time and somebody dies as a result of it. What is he up to?
Well, the other time you're probably thinking of is the death of Lazarus, where he waits 3 days. But we understand why he does that, because official death didn't occur until 3 days. So when Lazarus is raised on the fourth day, the Pharisees can't argue that he wasn't really dead, because officially he was. The other thing to keep in mind is that Jesus is here to comfort and help and to save. So if he's on the way to do one thing and something interrupts him, that's just his character, that he's willing to help. And this is the woman, of course, as you're talking about, with the issue of blood. So there's no doubt that he's going to be healing Jairus' daughter because he goes with him, but because something else interrupts him doesn't mean that he's not going to do what he has promised.
So it's almost as though it does. Well, I want to be careful here. It's almost as though Jesus is saying, in effect, you know, she's sick now at the point of death, and if she dies, that's okay. I can still take care of it. Is that part of what's going on here?
Yes. That's how I would understand it.
Okay, so tell us a little bit of the story and give us some context for the healing of Jairus' daughter.
Well, what we have is Jesus crosses again in the boat. And it's kind of interesting what is said here, that the boat is with a definite article. It appears that there is a boat that's attached to him specifically, at least one that he's well known to be using. And therefore, when he crosses in the boat, a great crowd gathers around him, and he was beside the sea. Now, it's important, and we'll find out this later, that crossing in the boat to the other side means he's now again in Israel. And that'll have some impact when we see what he says to Jairus later on. And a big crowd comes around him, and it says one of the rulers of the synagogue, and he even names him Jairus, seeing him fell at his feet. Now, this is not so much an act of worship, because he does not yet know the full impact of what Jesus is saying or doing, but it is a way in which he shows his humility in front of Jesus, that this is really quite unusual that he would bow down to Jesus and implores him earnestly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. Now, what's interesting about that comment is that he's asking Jesus to do something that would be really miraculous, because you want to say that to a doctor, come and lay your hands on her. He recognizes Jesus as a healer. As to whether or not he recognizes him as the savior of the world, that's not quite true here yet. But he's not telling him to act like a doctor. He's telling him to act like a miracle worker. And probably he's heard about the other miracles that Jesus has done.
What does it mean that he's a ruler of the synagogue? What would that have meant in Israel?
A ruler of the synagogue, the synagogues were set up, and one would consider him kind of like an elder. He was responsible for setting the times of worship. He was responsible for those who would be doing the readings, who would be doing also the various preaching. That's what he was in charge of as a ruler of the synagogue. Just like today we would have not so much a pastor, he wouldn't be considered that so much, but as a head elder, maybe the head usher, so to speak. He was a layman, and therefore he wasn't ordained. But by falling at Jesus' feet, he shows his act of humility and respect, and also probably his desperation.
Talk a little bit about, and it's not part of the text itself, but of course we've mentioned already that this is interspersed with as he's going to Jairus' house. He's encountered by this woman who had heard reports about Jesus and kind of sneaks up behind Jesus to get a little healing and is healed of her hemorrhage, and yet Jesus stops in order to encounter her. What goes on there?
Well, what happens is that she had heard the reports about Jesus in verse 27. And all she did was touch his garment and believe that she would be made well. And that word well is also a word that's used for a salvation. And immediately the flow of blood dried up. Now, if we understand what her illness was, she would be considered unclean, because for 12 years she had this flow of blood. But she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Then we really see Jesus' humanity in perceiving him in himself that power had gone from him. Immediately he turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples says, "What are you talking about? Look at the crowd pressing against you and you're asking, who touched me?" But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And then he says, "Daughter." Now, that is a term that would mean that she is part of his family, the family of God. And he points out to her that faith has made you well. It is the concern of the entire Reformation that we're saved through faith, not by works. And then he says, "Go in peace," using the same word that the angel said to the shepherds. And he says, "Be healed of your disease." But he points out that her faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is not believing that Jesus exists. I mean, that's obvious. She sees him. It's believing the promise that he is the one who has come to save Israel. And because of that faith, this would be saving faith. She knew all she had to do was touch his garment and she would be healed, and that happened. And so once more, the whole incident of both women, the young Jairus' daughter and this woman, Jairus' daughter of 12 years old and the woman of 12 years in bleeding, that Jesus has power. And the power he has with Jairus is to raise her from the dead. And the power he has with a woman is to cure her of a lifelong disease.
So one of these women, I mean, there's a reason why these two stories find themselves close to each other. One of these women kind of tries to pickpocket a little bit of healing from Jesus. And in the end, Jesus commends her for her great faith, because she knows that he has that he is capable of carrying out this promise. The other girl can't even get up out of bed, and then when he finally shows up, is dead, can't do anything, even reach out and touch Jesus.
And both of them, the one is unclean because of her illness, and you know what the disciples thought of little children. You know, they were just kind of in the way, so to speak, and Jesus takes them up and blesses them. So you have, this is very important, I think, that what Jesus is doing here is healing people who really have no reputation. He came for the poor in spirit. He came for those of no reputation. He didn't heal only important people to make him look good in the eyes of the world, but he healed whomever the Father had put in his walk throughout life, and even if they were unimportant, he gave them the same kind of help as he did even a rich person like Joseph of Arimathea.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 17th. Tom hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. We'll be right back. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
The only thing that the devil has on you is your sin.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
But your sin, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun when you return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385. Or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is our guest. We're looking at Mark chapter 5, the famous story of Jesus healing and raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. All right, Tom, so we have these two women here, and here comes the news that Jairus certainly is dreading more than anything. They hadn't yet made it to the house. Jesus is still speaking with this woman that had interrupted him. And servants come from the ruler's house who say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" What do they think about Jesus, these servants who say, "It's useless now"?
The very fact that they use the term teacher, not Messiah or the Christ or the one we were looking for, he was well known for his teaching, but they did not believe that he would have the power to raise someone from the dead. I mean, this is really quite unusual. This had the raising of Lazarus from the dead had not yet occurred at this time. And so why trouble the teacher? And the Greek word there is one who is known for his teaching. The King James uses the term a master, but the more appropriate term would be teacher here. So they don't imagine at all that Jesus is going to help. Perhaps he might have been able to heal her, but to raise her from the dead, that doesn't make any sense.
Jesus raises the question of faith. I mean, he says in essence to Jairus, when he overhears their kind of, "It's futile now," Jesus says to Jairus, "Do not fear, only trust."
Once more, the word fear is the one used by the angels to the shepherd, "Fear not." And then, of course, they talk about the peace that is coming to the world. And then once more, Jesus uses that great Reformation word, "believe." And there, the word "believe" would be pointing Jairus back to what Jesus is doing. He's going with Jairus, and he wouldn't be going with him unless Jairus's request is going to be being answered. It's something that we need to get across to the Sunday school children, that anytime you ask Jesus for something where he has made a promise, then his promise will be fulfilled. Therefore, believe. And even if something doesn't work out the way we wish it would in our prayers, we're still remembering the promise from Romans 8:28, that all things will work together for our good. So what we need to do at times is kind of sit back. I was in a Bible study this morning at Emmanuel Olivet, and that's what we were talking about, that a lot of times things happen that we don't expect. And one of the ladies gave an example of something that happened to her that she hadn't expected, but it was an answer to her prayer, and God did it. And so we ought to have eyes of faith to be looking to see how God is going to answer any one of our prayers, because even if it's not something that he's promised we're asking for, it's still something he promises will work out to our good.
So Jesus has now made an explicit promise to this man. At first, he just goes with him, doesn't say anything. He has made a promise to the woman on the way, "Your faith has saved you." And now he says, "Do not fear, only believe." In the face of this, the news of this girl's death, he takes James, John, Peter with him. They come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus at least appears to be ignorant of the fact that the kid has died. He says, "Why are you all mourning? It's not time for mourning. She's just asleep." What's going on?
Yes. When he gets to the house, there is a big commotion and people weeping and wailing loudly. This was a practice that actually, during a funeral of someone who was of somewhat importance, and Jairus's daughter would, because he's the ruler of the synagogue, they would hire people to wail and mourn as a sign of honor to the family. So it shows how important Jairus is by what they are doing. And then Jesus uses the term that is used throughout Scripture, at the death of a believer. We often even will see on a tombstone, "Asleep in Jesus," or "RIP, rest in peace." And it's because for the believer, he is or she is not going to experience the eternal death that unbelievers do, so they're asleep in Jesus. And so he uses that term. He also of course, is really degenerated because the people around him begin to mock him. They begin to laugh at him, it says, which is a way of deriding him. They just, she's not asleep. She's obviously dead. It's something that the people in Lazarus' situation are going to find out, too. And this is important to understand. We once more find this strangeness about Jesus that it's not obvious that he's the Messiah. Even when he says something that is miraculous, people still doubt him. The word is still doubted even today. To look at someone and say, your sins are forgiven, apart from faith by the Holy Spirit, that just doesn't make any sense. So they all laugh at him, and he puts them all outside except for the child's father and mother, and the three that, by the way, he also took on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he goes in to where the child is.
Now, it says he speaks to her, and this is interesting. He takes her by the hand and speaks to her. Now, I've seen people who, you know, are saying goodbye to their loved ones, and the person has already died. And sometimes, as a way of dealing emotionally with the death, they will speak to the corpse. But corpses can't hear, and they certainly can't respond. But Jesus says to this little girl, little girl, I say to you, arise, and she does. Talk about that.
Yes, the actual proper translation there is, maiden, to you I say, arise. And she, of course, begins to walk around. It's really something very important here that Jesus uses the two verbs here for the verb to rise. They're both verbs. He gives a direct command to the girl, and it's her walking around does help us remind us of Lazarus, that he also said to her, arise. The talithakumai is Aramaic. Some people say, well, that was where the magic was in the words. But instead, Mark is simply using the Aramaic. You know, they do that also on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then they translate it back into the Greek. Maiden, I tell you, arise. And the reason he does it in the Aramaic, this is now in Israel, and this is the language they would use. They would use Greek kind of for commerce. They would use Hebrew in worship. They were quite lingual, these folks. And then they would use Aramaic in their common language. And for Jesus to use the Aramaic rather than, say, the Hebrew shows that this is an earthly thing that he has power to do, and he is doing it on a person that isn't really that important. It's a little girl and not even allowed into the temple proper, but it is pointing forward not only to the resurrection of Lazarus, but it's pointing forward to our resurrection, that's the words that Jesus will say to us also on the day of resurrection.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Jesus Healing Jairus' Daughter in Mark chapter 5 on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 17th. When we come back, we'll finish the story and we'll find out the Law and Gospel of this particular text for the Sunday school children. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois; Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana; Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas; Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon; St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana; Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho; Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri; Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa; St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa; Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri; the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California; Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois; and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
See me.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the healing of Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Our conversations are set for the Sunday school teacher and the Sunday school class, as we'll discuss here in just a few minutes. And a great resource, a fantastic resource from Concordia Publishing House for that Sunday school teacher and classroom is a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It takes the familiar stories like this one. This is standard boilerplate Sunday school lesson stuff and orients them the way that they ought to be read. Old Testament, New Testament, whatever the passage may be, it brings forth Christ in his saving work. That's why we call it Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more and get a free sample of Growing in Christ by giving Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Growing in Christ, go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Tom, let's talk about the end of the story here. The girl gets up, immediately walks around, and here is the final strange thing for us to deal with in a text that's already been a little bit strange. Everyone is overcome with amazement. They're just stunned to see it. But in verse 43, he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, this has already been a pretty public event. There have been mourners brought in. The whole village certainly knows the girl has died. Everyone's convinced that she was dead. She was, in fact, dead. And now Jesus says, don't tell anybody what happened. What's going on?
Yes, I either have been taught this, that Jesus, this is called the Messianic secret, and that Jesus didn't want to be known as the Messiah because people thought that he was one who was coming to get rid of the Romans and this sort of thing and see him as a great miracle worker. He wanted to be known as the Messiah through his words. But I have since changed my mind because in the very same chapter, chapter 5 of Mark, he heals a man who had been possessed with demons. And in verse 19, after the man begged that he might go with Jesus, here's what Jesus says. He did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Now, how does this fit with him saying here instead that he strictly charged them that no one should know this? Well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is, and I made note of that when we began the text, in verse 21, Jesus crosses again in the boat that most people think is the one he's normally on, probably owned by the disciples, to the other side, and he enters again into Israel. And so I have now changed my mind that in Israel, you had the Pharisees and the scribes looking to put him to death. probably quicker than Jesus would want to be put to death. And so therefore in Israel, he is always telling people not to say what has happened in order that his death would not be hastened. Whereas outside of Israel, in the Gentile territories, he has no problem in having people say what he has done because he doesn't have his enemy in those areas. So that's how I would understand this, especially in light of what he tells the man, the fellow who was healed just before, that he should go and tell everybody what Jesus has done for him. And, of course, everyone marvels.
What's the law and gospel for the Sunday school children from this very familiar story of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead?
The law is that we are all born under the curse of the law, which means in the day that you sin, eternal death should be the result. And in consequence of that, we have things happening to us out of sorts in this world. There was no disease in the Garden of Eden. There were no storms. There were no fires. There was no destruction. But with the fall of man into sin, these things began to happen in a fallen world. The gospel, and it is found in the word sosa, the Greek word to save, that it means both to heal of disease as well as to save eternally. And Jesus does both these things with the daughter of Jairus as well as the woman with the issue of blood. That he not only heals the consequences of their sin, but he also points forward to their eternal salvation. So that in heaven, according to the book of Revelation, there will be no more sickness, nothing going on at all that's bad. But we will be restored to, in a sense, a Garden of Eden status, only with one thing different, that we will never again fall into sin of any nature.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for joining us this week. Look forward to next week's conversation when we teach a Sunday school lesson.
And thank you, Todd.
This is shouldn't surprise us at all. It really shouldn't, that Jesus is on his way to his own death and in the course of dealing with death himself, in his own death on the cross, he deals with everyone else's too. Now, the death that I die, I just die for myself. I just get my portion of death, so to speak. This little girl, 12 years old, just her portion of death. The wages of sin is death, and the wages come to each of us according to our sins, and that means each of us die. That's just the way the math works out. But for Jesus, it's different. He's on his way to his death, which isn't going to be a death which is paid out to him as the wages of sin that he has committed, but the sins that we have committed, that Jairus committed, that this little girl committed, that this woman on the way committed, that I committed, you committed, the sins of the world are the sins he will answer for with his death. He will die everyone's death in his death, all of death funneled down to one man at the cross. But on his way to that death, he is dealing with everyone else's already. Ultimately, this little girl will have life, eternal life and resurrection, as will I and you and everyone else, through Jesus' death and resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.